If one rocket is fired from Gaza, we'll have complete international legitimacy to go in with full force and respond to that. That was the line repeated by Ariel Sharon and his people who were on his side of the disengagement plan in the 2000s, the early to mid 2000s, for the disengagement happened in 2005. The disengagement being Israel forcing all its citizens, dismantling the settlements in Gaza, ethnic cleansing of the Jews in Gaza, if you want to go that far, and removing all its soldiers. The point was, right now it's occupation. Once it's no longer an occupation, we can do whatever. Of course, they left. Rockets became much more frequent, much more advanced, reached much further targets. At some point, reached all of were able to reach all of Israel. Yesterday, Israel removed most of its remaining soldiers from the Gaza Strip, left Khan Yunis completely with zero Israeli troops on the ground. Again, with the statement, we can act within an hour's notice. We can act in Khan Yunis if we want to. We can go back. And shockingly, hours later, rockets were fired towards Israel from Khan Yunis. Welcome to the Daily Objective, day 185 of the war in Israel. James, we're going to go through an article that goes into the details of this. We are, of course, we're not a news channel; we're a commentary channel, so we get our news from news sources. And yeah, Stephanie asked, does this mean they will now bomb it? That is a very optimistic well, answering yes would be very optimistic and I would say detached from reality level optimistic. No, they will not, unfortunately. This is Israel in effect surrendering. That is my commentary. James, you might have a different take on this.
No, I wish I could tell you that I think it had some benevolent aspect, but this is in effect surrender, as you point out. Rockets immediately coming back. Oh my God. The point is that within days of Hamas, as you pointed out just a moment ago, Israel many years ago left the Gaza Strip unilaterally. And within days of Hamas taking power there, being the elected government there, rockets were immediately starting to be lobbed at Israel. And as you point out, it continued and it continued. And there were waves of rockets for the next several years to come. Sure, there were little pauses in between. They forcibly removed all of the Israeli settlers from Gaza when they did this, as you point out. Ethnically cleansed, Israelis ethnically cleansed, in effect, Gaza from any Jews. There was no occupation. Any blockades of Gaza were the result of those ongoing rocket attacks that began from the minute Hamas took power, practically, and continued again and again and again, and are still happening after October 7th. So there's not going to be an occupation. What we need is a total occupation. And obviously, this has just signaled that Netanyahu is not willing to do that. And lo and behold, just as you observe, from the very areas where they're removing, the rockets come right on back. Everyone discusses all the Palestinians being displaced in Gaza. No one discusses the Israelis who've been displaced. Most of the population of the north has had to flee. Most of the population from the south has had to find some. What the hell? And the demands are all placed on Israel. Israel's got to do this. Israel's got to do that. And Israel is buckling to the pressure. And look, I understand America may be your only friend. America may be stabbing you flat in the back right now, just as we discussed in the other episode about Biden switching sides, as if he ever really, I think in his heart, was on Israel's side. But the point is, at this point, 6 months into it, okay, he's losing the support of, obviously, we used to have bipartisan support in the United States Congress. Having lost that, Israel, I don't know what influence that is having on Netanyahu. But obviously, this is in effect surrender. Hamas will live to do more October 7th as a direct result of this. And if I could just one comment, Israel You will never appease world opinion. You will never defend yourself. If you attempt to appease world opinion, they're not. Look, these people are taking the Hamas line. They want Hamas to survive. This is an existential threat. In fact, the all ongoing attack, coordinated attack from Iran on Israel and American interests in the area is not going to stop. Biden is going to continue to appease Iran. You're going to be all on your own, Israel. No amount of appeasement is going to say is help you or appease the world. So just forget that.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to see the level of what it is you're trying to appease, stay tuned for the reality show where they will be discussing this International Court of Justice case brought up against Germany for aiding genocide. I mean, that is the level of cynicism to which these people will take their campaign to eliminate the state of Israel. Christian, thank you for the super chat, and it's a very well-timed question by Christian or statement. Christian says, as far as I understood, they do a regrouping of the troops to prepare the battle to take Rafah. Look, that's the optimistic way to look at it, which is the way the Israeli government is trying to sell it to us. I mean, this Rafah operation, even in the way that Israel would actually do it, which is a ground operation, which will result in soldiers dying and not be as effective as an aerial bombardment and then a ground operation. Even that, as time goes on, it's not just that Hamas is the one or the ones regrouping, and they're on the ground. It's an away game. It's not going to be an easy thing to do, but it's also world opinion that again Israel follows. Israel listens and does what its so-called allies tell it. Has been against this operation. It was over a month ago that David Cameron threatened to recognize a Palestinian state if there is a ground operation in Rafah, which is an unbelievable statement considering the British government actually said they support Israel destroying Hamas after October 7th. As we said, it's easy to support the country that had just been attacked before it actually responds. But to your point, Christian, this is from the article in Ynet News. So it says over 20 brigades were in Gaza at the operation's peak. Now only the Nahal Brigade remains. A government's war label likely aims to block senior. Well, this is off topic and mostly Israeli politics. But yeah, the bottom line is at some point there were 30,000 to 40,000 troops on the ground. Now there are hundreds. So in terms of, what Israel says and what it intends to do, let's hope that Christian, what you're saying is right, but I'm not optimistic, James.
Why do we need to make sure that most of the civilian population, to quote, and I'm going to put this in really scare air quotes here to mix my metaphors about quotes. Why do we need to remove most of the quote civilian population from Rafah? I mean, why? It is the wrong approach, but it has been the wrong approach since Gaza City. I just went through a news report this morning where they showed 50% of the buildings in Gaza have been wiped out. Most of the population has had to flee to the south in Rafah. Well, the point is that Israel allowed them to flee. They wouldn't bomb until they sent out warning messages to nearly every building that was going to get bombed. It is the wrong approach being continued, and it will have the same negative effects. There's not going to be an occupation. Hamas is going to survive. Even if Netanyahu does something in Rafah, which he keeps saying he will, and he wants, quote, and they get done. Note this, the last thing I heard from Netanyahu, he says, we will get nothing but total victory. No, that's history. That ship has sailed, Prime Minister Netanyahu. The total victory ship sailed quite some time ago, in case you didn't notice it.
Yeah, we have a few super chats, but I want to go to this question by Mons, who says Israel may be moving troops north. Look, these are all the scenarios that I would like to say, yeah, that's why they're doing it. But A, it still shouldn't be done. It should at the very least be done with a with an aerial bombardment that destroys what needs to be destroyed, which hasn't been destroyed when you were there with ground troops. But no, I mean, Israel, if Israel acts in the north, I think it will be after something that Hezbollah does that has more of an impact now. Destroying houses, killing the occasional person is not good enough for Israel to, unfortunately, to actually act militarily. And James, I see that you have something to say. We do have some more super chats, but
Well, it's
it's
just that Israel should have done, given what Hezbollah was already doing, Israel should have done a preemptive strike in Lebanon before October 7th. After October 7th, and the missiles start coming over, and they're still not. And now, with a threat from Iran, I'm sorry, I'm utterly speechless with the feckless, altruistic, irresponsible way. And now I'm going to really be full-throated in my criticism of Israel. The feckless and irresponsible way Israel is trying to defend itself here. No, of course, it's no excuse for America and its appeasement of Iran. We encourage it. We have blood on our hands in sanctioning and funding Iran for this coordinated attack. But
Yeah,
no.
by the way, there were reports that on October 7th, Israel's defense minister said to Netanyahu, "I want to act against Hezbollah right now." They already started firing rockets here and there, but he knew that something was coming. And Netanyahu says, "No, the Americans won't let us," which is an unbelievable statement from a leader of a country who says, "I know our citizens are going to be killed, but we can't act to defend them because our ally doesn't want us to." That is an unbelievable statement. And Israel now has hundreds of thousands of refugees, Israeli refugees in Israel, many from the north, who can't go back to their homes just for the reason that Israel won't defend itself. Michael Sanders, thank you for the super chat. He says, "Is the IDF seriously going to leave two Hamas brigades in Gaza just to appease Biden?" Well, the IDF follows orders, and the orders come from Netanyahu. So the question is Netanyahu seriously going to do that? And I think the answer is yes. And as I've been saying since October 7th, with every bit of commentary that you hear from me, I hope I'm wrong. Unfortunately, I'm mostly not.
Biden and Netanyahu both have betrayed the people of Israel so despicably at this point that that's my only comment. I'm in sheer disgust. I'm assured that there will be more violence. In fact, it's more likely that Israel will now face a multi-front war, precisely because of the terrible way that the war has been executed so far. Netanyahu listens too much. I know America is really the only sort of ally Israel has, but to be obeying Biden at this point is just disgusting and a betrayal of the Israeli people. Both Biden and Netanyahu ought to be ashamed at this point, really.
Yeah. Thank you, Bonnie, for the super chat. Thank you, Gail, for the super chat. Thank you, Knows Too Much, for the super chat. Knows Too Much says the Islamo-Nazis are emboldened by any concession by Israel. In 2004, they explicitly said so in regards to the disengagement. People don't listen. Some people don't listen. Some of us did listen. I've mentioned the story on the channel. I was living in Israel at the time. I was a member of the Likud party when the leader of the Likud, Ariel Sharon, said that he will have a referendum of Likud party members. And he said very clearly, whatever happens in this referendum, that is what we'll do. He said that when in the polls it looked like he was going to win that referendum. I remember this was arguably the vote I'm most proud of. I went that day to vote against that disengagement. 60% of Likud members voted against it, and Sharon laughed it off. His members of his party went with it. Netanyahu opposed it but voted for it, just so you see what kind of person Netanyahu was. Again, somebody who rhetorically is if I've said in the past, if his actions matched his rhetoric, he'd be a great leader. But the fact that his actions are so far from his rhetoric shows it makes him more guilty than he would otherwise be, just being just having these bad policies. James, any more thoughts before we go to a couple more super chats and a little bit more of the article?
Oh, let's get on with
So knows too much. Thank you for the additional super chat. He says, he or she say, not many people know that Jews were ethnically cleansed from Gaza in 1921. Synagogues were destroyed, and some even turned into mosques. Well, yeah, I mean, if you listen to the pro-Palestinian side generally talk about what happened before Israel became a country, it's Jews came over to take the land. By the way, just the very idea of it is unbelievably collectivistic. The idea that a Jew living somewhere where nobody's living, like literally the plot of land where you're living, nobody else is living, but it is Arab land. I mean, where is that border drawn? So yeah, but that
Real
doesn't
property
matter.
rights or individual property rights, as we objectivists know, and a government that doesn't recognize individual property rights at all, there ain't no property rights on scene, folks. No, there's no there's no Arab land here. There's no Palestinian land here. The only country that even has a claim to have legitimate property rights here is Israel, which recognizes it, despite all their socialism, which recognizes individual property rights, the only source of legitimate property rights. Yeah, that's pure collectivism.
Yeah, and another thing you hear from those arguing that is, it's Palestinian land. Jews should go back to where they came from, and of course, they came from Europe where they were slaughtered by the millions. They came from Arab countries where they were slaughtered and kicked out.
Brutalized, ghettoized,
And the
just
people.
the treatment of Jews in the Muslim and Christian world over the last few centuries has been so horrific. That's what forced Israel into existence.
Yeah,
I mean, my God.
and the people saying that they should go back to where they came from are currently where they supposedly came from. So this is the kind of, they know the welcome they should expect if they look, for example, at the streets of London on a Saturday. Thank you, Knows Too Much, for the additional super chat. People need to understand there is no Palestinian people. Only a Palestinianist ideology, which is genocidal pan-Arabic Islamic imperialism in the land of Israel. Yes, but also that doesn't matter. It's not if they, again, the historical arguments are something that Israel shouldn't argue either. When I hear people arguing for Israel, well, we were there 2,000 years ago. None of you were there 2,000 years ago, all right?
Not even your grandparents were there 2,000 years ago, folks. No
And
one.
nobody has the right, North Korean dictatorship doesn't have a right to exist, even though it is for the people of North Korea. The so-called right to self-determination of collectives is it basically means that whichever thug manages to take over a group has the right to treat that group and the land on which that group currently lives however they want. Yeah, this is not an approach that I think
No,
any rational person.
I don't think that history, especially ancient history, is going to be helpful here. And no kind of collectivist arguments are really going to do it. On the other hand, it is an interesting, given that collectivism, I think it is an interesting fact that the existence of a Palestinian people who really are just part of the same ethnic group or all around only came into existence when I was a child. The very concept is no older than I am as a human being and is younger than the state of Israel. So yeah, it is a tactic, an ideological tactic, to say that these Palestinian people were always a Palestinian people and they were displaced collectively, etc. It's a collectivistic argument in any case, but it is a recent fabricated collectivist argument, I would point out.
Christian Klein says Molenbeek is the I missed most of this conversation, so this is out of context, but Molenbeek is the Belgian version of Luton Town, a what I assume was going to be the words shit hole. That was, I think, what you were going for. Yeah, I mean, look, the fact that and this actually ties into the super chat, and thank you Knows Too Much for the additional super chat. Why do you think Muslims are treated as a persecuted minority in the West when historically they are persecutors of minorities and over 1.5 billion. Well, they're not treated as a persecuted minority. That, you know, they're not, who's persecuting them? And furthermore, the problem with the treatment, if you want to put it that way, is Molenbeek is a great example of that. It's a place which is basically an Islamic state within the city of Brussels. And you have those in several places in Europe. You have them in the UK. And the idea that you know, the idea of multiculturalism, which is you should respect other cultures, not you know, treat people as individuals regardless of immutable characteristics, but appreciate whatever culture they have, which is, of course, culture is something you choose and you can choose to leave. And because of that, unfortunately, yeah, we see those communities. We see such communities also being allowed to get away with a lot in the UK. You know, some horrible things have been done by people in some Muslim communities, and they got away with it in part because the police didn't want to seem racist. So, yeah.
And there are these proposals in North America, Canada, and the state of Minnesota have both proposed that I Islamic communities be given the power to run their own show with Sharia law or whatever else. And that is despicable.
And
That is wrong.
it encourages both the wrong type of immigration from such countries, as in not people who want to leave because they want to live in a better culture, which the West is, but people who want to live because they want to export their culture. And it also discourages people within those communities who might want to leave the community, fight back because you know, this is it's their culture. How dare you criticize their culture?
That's exactly right. You know, Muslims who live outside of these large concentrations of Muslim communities in my country are much more likely to assimilate and be reasonable on this very point, where they are allowed to, you know, where they are in deep concentration with one another. I was hearing chants, for example, at Democratic protests in America, chanting "Death to America" just within the last 24 hours. That's what you're doing when you sanction these Islamic enclaves and foster this sense that take the whole concept Islamophobia. What a ridiculous concept that is. I am religion phobia, okay? A criticism of an ideology is not racism. A criticism of an ideology or culture or religion is not racism at all. At all. Is this bizarre? And once we develop this concept, Islamophobia, and you've got to let these Islamic communities do their own thing, then the next thing you get is crowds in America chanting "Death to America." You appease it, you get it.
So the IDF chief of staff Herzi Halevi said, "We are far from stopping. The IDF has not left the Gaza Strip. We currently have many fighters in Gaza." Again, many is hundreds compared to 40,000 at an earlier point. He says, "This is a long war, and we cannot maintain the same force configuration at all times. We are changing forces and modes of operation. We will not allow Hamas brigades to remain active in any part of the strip. We have plans, and we will act when we decide." James, we spoke before the show. We both watched HBO's Rome several times, and you know, as soon as I saw this, I was immediately reminded, and I looked it up. There's a scene in episode 4 of season 1 where Pompey gets the senators and the higher ups together and explains to them that, you know, Caesar is coming, and he's gonna get everybody out of Rome. They're gonna move to the south. It's gonna be a tactical retreat. And
Tactical retreat.
Cato says to him, "So in fact, this is not a humiliating defeat at all, but a rare species of victory." And this is exact. I mean, the I
That's
was
it.
I remembered that because it's such a great quote, and this is exactly what is what
His next
this
line is,
singer
"You
put it.
lost Rome. You lost Rome without unsheathing a sword,"
That
something like
is the exact quote. That is very impressive,
that.
Jake.
Yeah, well, here I have to agree with Cato the Younger. Those Catos could be very sharp. We often will quote Cato the Elder, his great 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 uncle from back in the Punic Wars, who gave us the Carthago Delenda Est. That's more the attitude Rome took towards Carthage and salting the earth with their enemy's homeland. That's more the correct attitude than the feckless, irresponsible attitudes of someone like Pompey, who basically let a legion of Caesar's army come straight to Rome without doing a thing.
Always great to have a historian when I bring up a historic reference, although my historic reference is from 20 years ago from HBO's. Thank you, Enric, for the super chat. Enric says Palestinian people is a term created by the terrorist group PLO that the West has accepted as real. Yes, accepted their term as real and accepted their demands as as legitimate. And like, if you actually listen to their demands, if you see what they want to do to the Jews, what they want to do to their own people, it's one of the clearest signs of the West going in a very, very wrong direction, unfortunately.
As populations go, the Arab Muslims who live in the West Bank and Gaza are particularly egregiously Islamists. They are egregiously jihadists. These are extremely nasty people. Egypt did not want Gaza. None of the local Arab countries want those populations in, and for good reason. These populations are extreme in their hatred of Jews, extreme in their hatred of Western civilization. And you can see it on October 7th, the dimensions of that extreme hatred of civilization, Jews in the West. Look at the atrocities. Look at the torture. Look at the mutilations. I know I keep bringing it up, but a culture giving in to demands, negotiating with people who could do October 7th, that is the moral injustice. That's a moral crime, ladies and gentlemen. And the minute you start down this path, I guess this kind of a result, where in effect the Israeli army has left Gaza altogether with a few hundred people, the actual bulk of the army they put in there is now gone. Well, this is the final shoe to drop, frankly, in that causal chain once you go down that path.
Carla says should Netanyahu be forced out now? I mean, my opinion is if politicians in the coalition had any backbone, they would remove him without an election. You don't need an election. I would not support an election right now. I absolutely would support Netanyahu being removed and somebody else from the Likud taking over instead, and ideally somebody who would actually fight this war. Like the Palestinian people are the enemy rather than the ally of this war, rather than people to be protected at the expense of Israeli soldiers. That's what I would like to see. If anybody knows of such a politician, please give him my
Yeah.
number.
Yeah, I'd like to know that person's name. Yeah.
Any final thought, James, before we wrap up?
No, but for weeks now we've sort of been seeing this sad end to it. And unfortunately, whatever Netanyahu says to the Israeli people, it's now quite clear that there's not going to be total victory or a total destruction of Hamas, even if in some way he does something in Rafah. I'm just depressed, and I don't mean to end it on a downer note like that, but in fact, for weeks now, we've been predicting this is sort of the outcome. It's just sad.
If you want to end it on a better note, maybe you can tell people where they can find you.
Well, I'm very active on social media, especially Facebook, where I manage several pages and answer questions nearly every day. So you can come get me there. And of course, I'm here. My most common podcast appearances are right here at the Ayn Rand Center UK. And if you find this material valuable, please, people, hit like, share, subscribe, comment, but consider becoming a paid regular subscriber to the Ayn Rand Center UK. We are the most rational and consistent voice in the world on this. And we have an international voice on this, even if it's rather small. But the
But
only good
growing.
news I have is we're doing great.
I am at Razi Ginsberg on Twitter if people want to hear more from me, although I'm also on this channel almost every day. And I will not be on this channel in a few minutes, but four of my friends will be when they discuss the recent demands of the recent attacks on Germany for its current policy on Jews being, this is my interpretation, being different from its previous policy on Jews. If that is harsh, maybe if
Well,
people can let the panelists know on the reality show. I will be back for the Daily Objective tomorrow. Thanks, James. Thanks, everybody, for watching. And stay
be
tuned for the
safe.
reality.